During a State of the Judiciary address to lawmakers last month, State Supreme Court Chief Justice David Gilbertson expressed his concern over elder abuse. He said the abuse of seniors exists in South Dakota, although the extent of the abuse is unknown. He said it's a growing problem with the number of senior citizens increasing. Gilbertson said the issue is worthy of a partnership between the three branches of government, similar to the cooperation that secured the passage of the Public Safety Improvement Act in 2013, which reformed the state's criminal justice system. Republican State Senator David Nufstrup of Aberdeen has taken the legislative lead on the issue and is the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 168, which would establish a legislative task force to study elder abuse in South Dakota. The bill is heard in the Senate Retirement Laws Committee tomorrow, and Senator Nufstrup joins us on the line from the state capitol. And welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what are some of the other details of the bill? How big would the task force be, and when would it operate?
Right now, the task force is 11 members, but in conversations with some other people, I'm going to include three appointments from the Chief Justice and then an appointment from the Attorney General, and then I'm going to take one away, so it's an odd number of the committee, but so it'd be 15 members, and then they would meet over the course of the summer and then have a report to the legislature by December 1st. But it includes the Chief Justice, the Governor's Office, and then the legislators too. So all three branches are going to hopefully work together, and we'll work together and see what we need to do to address the issue.
So it sounds like this is the same process, a similar process that led to the criminal justice reform passed by the legislature a few years ago, and then the current legislation under discussion regarding juvenile justice reform?
Yeah, it's a little different, though, because those weren't established by a bill that went through the legislative process. The governor and chief justice and the legislators, they formed a work group to look at that, and they also included everybody from attorneys, prosecutors, defense attorneys to get involved in that process and come up with that bill. But this will actually, the legislature will establish it by passing this bill.
Have you talked with Chief Justice Gilbertson about this issue?
I haven't talked to him personally. I've talked to some of his staff, and they're very interested in being a part of the process and see what we need to do as a state, what we're doing right and what we can maybe do better, and maybe just raising public awareness and letting people know that it does happen in South Dakota and trying to prevent it and hold people accountable that do it.
Now, as I mentioned, Chief Justice Gilbertson talked about this during his State of the Judiciary address last month. Were you aware of this as an issue in South Dakota before you heard from the Chief Justice and his address?
I think the Chief Justice really brought the attention to it just by mentioning it. And then, as I mentioned something at a Cracker Barrel in Aberdeen, and I had somebody come up to me afterwards and tell me that they had a personal situation that they were aware of. And just as I drove back to Pierre that week, I thought, well, if there's more stories that we hear about, the more we talk about it, we should probably get a task force formed to look at the issue and really try to reduce the problem and then make sure we try to protect people.
Now, you're one of the younger members of the legislature, and I was reading a column from journalist Bob Mercer, and I think he even said it was your 32nd birthday yesterday. I know that was the case.
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What was it that led you to get involved with this issue of elder abuse? Was it that the conversation at the Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, well, in between the Chief Justice and then the comment at the Cracker Barrel, it just, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that the legislature should do something on looking at elder abuse and doing it this session, not waiting for somebody else to take the lead or just waiting for something to happen to actually force something to happen or continue the discussion is really One of the goals is just keep the public awareness on the issue and continue the discussion. And really, that's the best way we're going to address the issue. The more people work together and talk about it, the better result we're going to have.
At this point, before the task force has been out there, has done any research, how much is known about the extent of elder abuse in South Dakota? Are there any statistics, any official numbers on this?
I did get some numbers this morning from DSS, Department of Social Services. There's some mandatory reporting laws on the book. So there are some numbers, but I'm not just concerned about the physical abuse. There's emotional, which is probably harder to see or address, and also financially. So it's not just one part of elderly abuse that I want to be focused on. I want to look at different ways that elderly are being abused, and also how they're being, or people are trying to exploit them or take advantage of them, especially since we have more and more people retiring and getting older and getting in that age group every day, with the baby boomers getting closer to that age group and just trying to get out in front of the issue.
Now, as I mentioned, this bill that would establish a task force is under consideration tomorrow afternoon, I believe, during the Senate Retirement Laws Committee. What happens during that hearing?
During that committee, I'll talk a little bit about why I think we should have a task force and establish one, and then there will be, I know AARP has talked about testifying in favor of the bill and a few other groups. So we'll tell the committee why we think it's important, and then they'll vote, and I would hope that they would pass it, and then the Senate floor would discuss the issue within a day or two of that, most likely.
Now, given this bill, the Senate bill has looking at, there's quite a few other sponsors, broad bipartisan support. Even before tomorrow's hearing, do you expect that this bill to create a task force will ultimately be passed?
Yeah, I think it will get good support in the legislature. There is a couple different ways to get this process done, and one is by doing the bill, like 168, and then there's also another way. At the end of session, the legislators get a sheet from the executive board, which are legislators that kind of oversee the legislature when we're not in session, and they decide what summer studies we do over the course of the summer. And so that would be another way. If this bill, for some reason, didn't pass, it could still become a task force or summer study this year yet. I would prefer to do it now and just, I guess, get in front of it, like I said, and make sure we're looking at the issue.
So what is different about having a task force versus the summer hearing committees that go on during the summer months with legislators?
Well, this would be very similar to that. It's just the process of establishing it. If I was the Jolene's Law task force that we had last year, and they're trying to extend for another year as well, that was put in statute. And then the other way is the executive board, through legislators voting on what they think is important to study, would be another way. But once they're established, they basically function the same way, with different people on the on the summer study or task force. It could be legislators or outside groups or people that are experts in those specific areas, depending on what the issue is that they're studying.
Now, you mentioned that there is already going to be a change in the number and the makeup of a little bit of the task force under this Senate bill. Do you anticipate that there could be other changes over the course of the discussion of this bill from the hearing and then onto the Senate floor?
There could be, but I don't think there will be other big changes. And the reason why I wanted to include the Chief Justice is when I had the idea, I was getting close to the deadline of introducing bills, and I modeled it after the Jolene's Law Task Force, and they didn't have any appointments from the Chief Justice. And so my goal was to get the bill introduced and then let all the interested parties look at it and give their input and see how they would want it structured. And I agree with having the Chief Justice and the Attorney General involved in the committee and who's on that committee.
Now, if this task force is approved and goes on with its investigation and issues the report later this year, at the end of the year, what do you expect that there could be legislation then for the next session?
It's definitely possible. It's not a guarantee, though, because I think there's always room for improvement, but I think we need to figure out what we're doing now and also see where the data leads us and make the changes based on that. So I would think there would be at least a change or two, if not more. But I guess we need to gather the facts and let the data lead us in the direction that it will take us.
Do you think it'll be difficult to really delve into and discover the extent of elder abuse in South Dakota with this committee?
I think it could be, just because there's so many different ways that elderly abuse could happen. Like I was talking about, financially or emotionally, that's not as obvious to the people that are around the elderly. They might not realize that somebody's taking money out of their bank account unless they had access to it and looked and said, why did you transfer it out of your account or something like that. So those situations, I think, are going to be harder to know the extent of, but trying to come up with either mandatory reporting changes or just increasing public awareness that this is a problem, taking money from a family member, in which that's the data I've seen nationally, a lot of those cases are family members on the financial side. So figuring out that it is a problem and it's not acceptable to keep that to family members or non-family, it will be somewhat of a challenge, but I think the more public awareness happens, the better.
Republican State Senator David Nostrup of Aberdeen is the prime sponsor of Senate Bill 168, which would establish a legislative task force to study elder abuse in the state. That bill is heard in the Senate Retirement Laws Committee tomorrow. And Senator Nostrup, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
You're welcome.